Blog Talk Radio. Hello, hello, hello out there, everyone. This is the girl. You know what time it is. It's time for Women Talking Empowerment Show Live. Yes, that's right. It's time for Women Talking Empowerment Show Live with your host, with the mostest, Sherita. I'm just so excited on today, for truly it is an awesome day outside. A little bit hot, but that's okay. I'm not going to complain about the weather, but I hope that everyone is coming with your listening ears. And time to get in the groove. It's time to get in the step of things. Why? Because summer is on its way. So, ladies, I know that you're looking to lose a little bit of weight and get the little tummy flat so you can put in your bikinis and all that good stuff. But at the same time, ladies, don't forget to respect yourself so that others can respect you, okay? Making modesty is my motto, modesty. So, ladies, we have an awesome show on today. So I have an awesome, awesome, awesome guest with me on today, all the way from Georgia. First, I want to let you all know that we're doing some new exciting things here at Women Talking Empowerment Show Live. We got some upcoming shows coming up for the whole entire summer, so you want to make sure that you keep it locked right here, and make sure you put us or add us as your station on iHeartRadio. Don't forget, download the iHeart app. Add us as one of your stations. That way, when we come on, you're able to hear, catch up with some of our past shows and all that good stuff. And not to mention, we have a whole host of summer giveaways that we'll be doing come June or next month. So we have an awesome woman of God that is here with us on today. Yes, we do, ladies. All the way from Georgia, Pastor BJ is here with us on today, and she's going to share some exciting news with you all on today. So we want to welcome her on today. We want to welcome her on today. Welcome, Pastor BJ, to the Women Talking Empowerment Show Live Show.
Hey, Sherita, I'm so glad to be with you. I'm so excited to be here today.
Wow, we're excited to have you on today. We're just, like, thrilled to have you on today. So this is, like, our first comeback show of the, you know, the season. And you are our first guest for the spring show. So we're excited. We're so excited to have you here to talk about some of the things that you have coming up and the things that is taking place in your life. And, so, ladies, we're not going to prolong everything because I know we don't want to hold Pastor BJ and hold her up because I know she's a very, very busy woman. So we're just going to jump right into you and say, how are you enjoying the weather on today, Pastor BJ?
Well, we're enjoying it here in metropolitan Atlanta, getting a little rain, but we're enjoying it. And I'm just so excited to be with you, Sherita. This is our first Women Talk and Empower Radio is the first stop on our virtual tour for our upcoming book. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
Wow, I'm excited. I'm so excited. So, Pastor BJ, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I'm originally from Florida. I relocated to metropolitan Atlanta a little over 20 years ago. My husband and I pastor a great work in Lawrenceville, Georgia, which is metropolitan Atlanta, Vision of Life Ministries. We've been married over 35 years. I'm a mother, and I'm a nana, and that really excites me. And as the executive producer, director of the Women of Power Network, my assignment is to promote, produce inspirational media to provoke the power within women from all walks of life, be it radio, television, publications, mentoring, and we have a Women of Power organization. So I'm just really excited about that. And we're now exposing and our Lady Leader brand. So that's just a little bit about me.
Oh, wow. So before we get into talking about the relaunch of the book and other things you got going on, I understand that you are a writer by trade. But I want to ask you, how long have you been writing?
Well, the longing to write, placing pen to paper, has been in my loins over 40 years. We published our first book in 1999, and God bless tremendously, but one of the key elements was sitting with authors and publishers and literary strategists who allowed me to place the words on paper. And I had to, now this was hard, I had to allow them the liberty to address some of the things that I was doing, which were improper writing style. My overly aggressive use of the great comma. I just love commas. And you see, I'm a pastor, and I've been pastoring almost 19 years, so I would write how I speak, which while I'm speaking properly and grammatically correct, I was writing as if I were talking and not writing, and as if I was not preparing someone to read it. So I've been writing for a long time, and as I said, it allowed me to get with someone, mentors, and those who had been in the field much longer than I, to critique mm-hmm. me and help me to do better, because I wanted to give what was excellent in the spirit of Christ.
Wow. Wow, that's awesome. That's awesome. That's a good tip. That's a good tip.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good tip. As you know, I'm going to take that for myself as a writer. I'm going to take that tip for myself. So we understand that you are relaunching the book, The Lady Leader. Can you explain to us a little bit about the relaunching of the book and what The Lady Leader is all about?
Yes, most definitely. And also, I thank you also for being one of our contributing writers to the Acts of Women of Power magazine. And you've been writing for us almost 2 years now.
Yeah.
Almost 2 years now. And it has really, we get rave reviews, so continue doing what you're doing. But
thank
talking
you.
About relaunching The Lady Leader, it's a must-read for lady leaders. And the reason I say that is because it explores the many diverse facets in the lives of lady leaders. And a lady leader can be from all walks of life. It identifies the challenges as well as embracing the individuality and sensitivity of femininity. The book also shares some of the challenges experienced that I as a lady leader, as well as a day that was labeled in my life as the beginning of the end. And it
mm-hmm.
talks a little about that. It's relaunched and revised because there have been some great nuggets of wisdom learned along the way. And I wanted to share with women, Sharia, as a lady leader, the superwoman cape doesn't always fit, and it's okay. That superwoman thing, it doesn't always fit, and it's okay. Matter of fact, I retired mine. I retired it, you know, it's in the Hall of Fame, because I no longer felt the need. You know, when you're younger, you feel that need that you have to. You have to. And when God places in you what you should do, then you come away from someone else's permissive will, and you go with Christ's perfect will.
Mm-hmm.
And the Revised edition, it identifies that weight and that wealth of wisdom deposited within the walk of a lady leader.
Wow. So you would say that the lady leader is for women that are in a leadership position, or is it for first ladies, co-pastor, women that are serving as like the co-pastor in the ministry, or is it just generalized to women in leadership particular across the border?
Across the board, I believe women lead from the pillow to the pulpit, from the soccer field to the boardroom. You know, every woman in some area of her life, whether she's a chauffeur, she's a mentor, she's a nurse at home, she's the laundry organizer, you know, she's a CEO of the sock committee, of the sock that got lost in the washer that nobody knows what happened in the dryer. She comes with that, I'm a lady, I got to make it happen, I've got to understand why is this going on. So I believe that women lead in every area of their lives.
Okay. So with the relaunch, what made you want to relaunch the book and revise the book? Was there something that you saw among women that have in a leadership position that triggered something on the inside of your spirit to relaunch the book and to bring it back out?
I think you just hit it on the head. Sharita, I had no choice. I had no choice in the matter because what I was seeing, what was triggering it, I was viewing women that are going above and beyond to compare themselves to someone else, not along within the body of Christ, but also in business, in their families. They're trying to compare themselves to what another relative did or what you didn't accomplish or what they accomplished and you felt that you should have, or you weren't moved up in leadership in your ministry as you thought you would, and when you did, it wasn't what you thought it was going to be about. You were in the boardroom, you're not getting paid as much as your counterparts, and you're not understanding. So I had no choice. I had to come back and share with women that, in essence, they are the greatest original that God has made. Mm-hmm. And what had happened, that trigger, was that I saw women in depression. It was becoming so prevalent, and that secrecy and that jealousy was raging. And as a lady leader, I felt it was very important to me to not only share my mountaintop experiences, but also show my deepest values. They could understand we learn from each of them. There's a lesson to be learned in each of them. So I had no choice in it. I had to do it.
Wow. What was when you first wrote the book, when you first actually sit down and God had you to write the book, what was the hardest thing in writing it? Because I know a lot of authors, when they have the go ahead from God to write a certain or a particular book, there's something about what He wants in the book. That sometimes it can be hard, and sometimes you have to touch on certain aspects of your life. What was the hardest thing for you?
In the original was the transparency. It was the transparency because I had to first get, when God released it into my spirit, I had to speak with some of my family members because there are things in the book that I could not share without permission. I wanted to make sure they were okay with it. The transparency, along with knowing that what I was doing was not for me. I had to actually realize that this book was not for me. It was for someone else. It became a sacrificial labor of love. Now, the hardest and most difficult part of revising it was that I was yet exposed again to those areas of wounds which caused me to obey the Holy Spirit to write the original. So that means I had to go back and relive some of those moments and understand why. And you know, you believe along the way that everything's okay and you've forgiven and you've gone on. But when you go back to revisit that moment in history, that span of time, that fragrance becomes so real again. And I know, though, that there was, and there still is, a need for valuable, credible, Holy Spirit-inspired information. And information that doesn't belittle you, that doesn't diminish you or ridicule you. So it's difficult to think, here we are. The original was written 8 years ago. It's difficult to think that here we are, Sharita, 8 years later for the relaunch, and we've conquered so much, yet so little. So that was difficult. That was difficult.
Wow. So now that you're doing the relaunch, and you also have another added component to the Lady Leader book, and it's the Lady Leader Morning Manna Manual. What is that about? Is it a conjunction as an add-on to the book to use, or something separate for the women to do by themselves, or is it the book and the manual together to bring about self-personal development?
Okay, it's a two-part. Thank you so much for asking that. It's a two-part. It is the book and the manual. The Lady Leader Morning Manual, Morning Manna, it mentors your morning with daily manna. The manual allows the readers to develop qualities and characteristics which are designed for themselves. They can put themselves in that position, and they're not being a carbon copy of other lady leaders. It gives them the opportunity to see themselves. It's a 30-day manual, which you'll be able to go throughout, but you'll be able to use it throughout the years to come. And there also within that manual, there are lady leader notepads throughout the manual. You can jot down your leadership light bulb moments or your morning manna miracles, because there will be some miracles in, you know, just from exposing yourself to who you are.
Okay.
You know, not who you are to the world, not who you are to your leadership team, but who you are to you, so that you can be a better leader in your personal walk. In your personal walk.
That's key.
Yeah, that's right. It is. It's key.
So when you, as you developed the manual for the women, what were some of the things that after you finished the manual, after you finished revise of the book, and after you put the book down on table and then you picked it back up for yourself, what were some of the personal things? Because like I heard you say, sometimes when you went back to revise it, you had to revisit certain areas. So as you went back, and you looked at the reversion of the book, and you looked at the manual, what has it done for you personal as a woman of God?
I found that it gave me more clarity.
Okay.
It gave me more clarity. And one of the areas says, he didn't, in the manual says, he didn't allow the attackers to consume what they only imagined I possessed. I have come to realize most of us don't look like what we've been through.
Amen.
While we have masked numerous sorrows and privately shed tears, have covered a multitude of fears. Many can't contain what you've experienced. They can only be exposed to where you're going.
Mm.
And what that gave me is what others believe was not always true, but what I believe is what brought me through.
Wow.
Well, things like that, and transitions in my life or my season did not change who I was called to be. You know, I might have went through life is filled with many transitions, health challenges, financial uncertainty, but I know without a shadow of a doubt that I am the lady leader who God has called. And the famine in my life never destroyed the harvest which was planted in my womb. Destroyed the harvest which was planted in my womb. So it gave me an opportunity to go back and get some clarity on something and just to revisit my relationship with the Holy Spirit and my assignment and calling and what he chose me to do.
Amen. So with you, by you writing the by you doing a reversion of the Lady Leader, and then adding on the other component, the manual for the women, what is the most important thing that you would say that women can get out of the both of them, out the book and the manual together? By, you know, doing the 30-day challenge, analyzing their own personal relationship with God, and then once they analyze their own personal relationship with God, coming back and seeing the areas that they need to work on as a woman of God.
Mm-hmm. I believe the most important thing that they will gain is that they will be enriched and they will begin to love themselves so that they can begin to love their neighbors. You know, the greatest commandment is love. And then the second is to love yourself as you love your neighbor. What has happened is that we have put so much emphasis on loving others in a manner which may not be a truthful manner. And I don't mean, I'm not saying we're being fake, but that's what we feel that we have to do. So we neglect ourselves and we begin to take care of everybody else. Everybody else. We schedule everybody else. We make sure everybody else goes to the doctor. We make sure everybody else takes care of their health. We make sure everybody else takes care of their responsibilities. But then nobody is taking the time, I believe, I won't say nobody, but there are a few of us that are taking the time to really care for us. I want to share and I want them to get out of this book. I want you to read the book to see the challenges that I experienced and the reason I brought some of them on myself.
Mm.
And I want you to be able to take that manual, go through it, find out some of the nuggets that apply to applicable to your life, and then begin to grow from it. I'm going to write briefly. One of the things about the lady leader that me personally, they need to know, extremely humorous. I'm a comical person. That's just me. And in 2005, I had my one sheet updated, and I asked the publicist to include that I was a humorous person in my bio. Ladies don't understand with the tremendous workload that we have and the seriousness of so many issues we encounter, we have to have an outlet. And you've got to be able to smile. You've got to be able to laugh. I mean, there is a direct, inspired seriousness with the assignment, but a tremendous laugh can do your body well. I tell them all the time, I say, I don't go to amusement parks. Well, why don't you go? I said, because I amuse myself. There's no need. So that may be a little bit of confidence and a little bit of craziness. But I want them to enjoy themselves. You know, we're supposed to be the ones that have life and have it more abundantly. Why aren't you enjoying your life as a lady leader? You're taking on too much. So I want them to get that out of the book.
Because I think that, you know, so many of us women, like you said, we take care of everybody else but ourselves, and we forget about ourselves. So we forget to laugh, to have fun, to just enjoy life and just let your hair loose. And, you know, there's moments when, okay, you're home, let your hair loose.
Right.
You know, have one of those mean days you just don't do nothing.
Right. And know it's okay. Don't feel guilty.
Yes.
Don't feel guilty about it. Right.
Yes.
Right. That's what this book and manual is all about. That's what it's all about.
I like the fact that you say you don't go to amusement parks because you amuse yourself.
I do. I crack myself up.
I like that because there are times when I could just be just around the house, or I could be just doing something, and I'll just bust out laughing. And well, we say, "Well, what did you laugh for?" I'm like, "You don't understand." And then I just keep on laughing because I'm thinking about something crazy,
I'm
thinking about something I saw on television the other night, or I just have this crazy thought just come in my head, and I just find it funny. And a lot of us women, like you said, we don't take care of ourselves and do those things, so we become distant. I think that a lot of us women become distant, and we disassociate ourselves with other women. And I know, Pastor BJ, when you were, you know, writing your book, and we all know the saying that women don't get along. We always clash heads. We don't like each other. We always in competition with each other. Is it anywhere in your book that touches a little bit about that, on becoming, you know, interpersonal with another woman, sharing, you know, like you said, we have to all have an outlet. Is there anything in the book that the women can gain from having that outlet, going to another sister in Christ, or just a sister, another woman in general, and just releasing?
Yes, there's a chapter in the book, and I believe it's entitled "The Price We Pay for Love." And I think that in that chapter, it really allows the women to be led of who to share with.
Okay.
To the discerning spirit on whom to share with. And seek God on whom to share with, and how much to share, and when to share. Those are very key elements, because sometimes we share out of need. And when you share out of need, sometimes we mess ourselves up. We've got and even though you may be hurting really bad, please, he says, cast your cares upon him. He cares for you. Tell Christ, tell God what's going on. I'm a living witness. He will lead you to someone, to the right person, that won't rape your spirit. and won't rape your mind and molest your hurt even worse than it is. I do believe that. And it's a part in that chapter, the Piety Faithful Love, that does just that. That's one of the chapters in the book.
Okay. So what other projects are you working on now? I know you have the magazine. I think the magazine comes out next month.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, we're currently excited about this virtual, physical, and physical book tour, and we're preparing to honor women in the Southeastern region. For 3 years now, we've had an annual award banquet where I honor women who have been influential in my life. Our theme for this year is making the impossible possible. We're going to be honoring impossible pearls. We're calling them impossible pearls. So they have faced challenges and moved on and have shown me how to do so many things. I'm very key on mentors, very key on mentors. And they have shown me a lot of things. Of course, coming out in July, we have our tele-revival in September, Women of Power, which we've had over 5,000 people that show up on that tele-revival. I mean, God is really doing a great work, and we just want to make sure that we're staying in alignment, humble, and true to the assignment, the integrity of the assignment God has given us.
Wow. So what other authors that you have read and books, manuals that have played a strong influence in your life, in your life as an author and as a pastor?
Well, the authors I like to read I love reading Joyce Meyer because she pulls no punches. She tells it exactly like it is.
Mm-hmm.
I love reading my bishop, Bishop T.D. Jakes, because he addresses things that a lot of pastors were not addressing back in when we came up in ministry, and I'm very honored for that. And I love John Grisham, a mystery writer. I love John Grisham. I love a good mystery book,
yes.
So I enjoy him. But the influence, the books that have had an influence have been like Frank DiMaggio, The Making of a Leader. He lays out this, he allows us to have a discussion on what it means to be responsible. And I believe as a leader, we have got to be responsible. We have lives attached to us. We have lives that are attached, and we just can't, you've got to be very mindful of, and they're precious lives. And John Maxwell, he wrote The Leader Within You. I love that book because it's a development manual. It's a book and a manual that teaches you how to develop as a man, how to grow properly and be as a man. And then Bishop Jakes wrote another book that really just blessed my life. It said, Naked But Not Ashamed. And I had to learn the transparency. I had to strip away some things. I had to really strip away some things to get to not being ashamed of being an adoptee, not being ashamed of different areas in my life, substance abuse that I went through. I had to understand it. And once I became naked and came unto the Lord and said, God begins. But we're thankful to be here, and God bless you for having us.
Amen. So before we leave and before we close out, everyone, I want to ask Pastor BJ if she can let everyone know.